prayer and intercession, and hearing again more from you later, Rich. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Andy, and a very happy new year to you all. It's so great to be back together again, starting the new year with you all. I'm really glad to see you. I hope everyone has enjoyed a good Christmas time, as Andy says, despite these disrupted Christmas times and the challenging times that we're living in. So one of the things that has really stuck with me over the last month or so as we've been reflecting on Christmas has been the reminder that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Shalom, as Isaiah forecast in Isaiah chapter 9. He came to establish his kingdom of shalom on earth. Through his life, his death and resurrection, he declared, "I am the way." That's who we are gathering around this morning. Now, as Andy's mentioned, we're in a time of fresh beginnings. So I wonder what your approach is to New Year and New Year resolutions. I've just been doing the exercise with Barney downstairs, looking at his sheet for what he's planning for the new year, who he's going to pray for, and what he wants to learn about God in the new year. How do you approach New Year resolutions? Some of us say, "Oh, that's not for me. That's so worldly. I don't need to do the kind of New Year resolution thing." I think I'd come to say these days, well, actually, God has created rhythms and seasons. That seems to be part of the way he likes to do things. And as those rhythms and seasons change and move on, there is opportunity to take stock, to make a fresh start and dream new dreams. And so this turn of the year provides that opportunity. And of course, as Andy has said, this is not your average turn of year, though, is it? Not since the Second World War have we seen such a worldwide incident cause such disruption as we're seeing and understanding now. So that makes this a very different change of year to be trying to take stock, dream dreams, plan ahead, think ahead. For many of us, just planning the next couple of days is a challenge in itself. Nonetheless, the invitation is there. So how are you going to approach it? Perhaps as we prepare to look forward, we should first remind ourselves of where we're coming from. What ground are we standing on? What's your footing? And is it steady enough to give you good, secure ground to move forward with faith and confidence? Over the end of last year, starting back in September and October, we visited the theme of shalom, and we provided the groundwork for where we are now as a church, looking at a number of themes. We likened shalom to a wall. We likened it to a wall. And we said that shalom was intended to be like a strong wall with all the bricks lining up with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. We said that shalom had been God's aim and promise for his people and his creation since the dawn of time. We said shalom is a way of being that affects every area of your life, dynamically living out a full and complete dependent relationship with God. And we said that the whole of the Bible reveals shalom as God's intention and something that he makes happen, but something that we must join in with. It's participatory. It's not just that God inflicts it on us, rather we choose to join in with the work that he has started. This is the footing that we stand on as we step into 2021. The Prince of Peace, who we follow, who we have given our lives to, has invited us to join in his peace. And furthermore, we have this picture from Chris Hall's The Ripple of the Ponds, that ripples in the pond. That was one of the messages from our series. You can look back and listen to Chris's talk on our YouTube channel. The message, the way, the life of shalom through Jesus has power to affect everyone and everything around you. Now, can I just do a check-in here and check everyone's paying attention? So kids, you can say this to your parents. I give you permission if you want to say this to the person in your room, or type it in the chat if you want to join in. Shalom is for everyone and everything. Kids downstairs, I want to hear you. Shalom is for everyone and everything. Thank you. I could hear that loud and clear from my children. I hope that was said loud and clear to you all at home too. We're talking about something that is secure footing for us, that is an essential truth of how we understand ourselves and the times we're in. So how does that make you feel? What's your response? Do you believe it? Do you believe what I've just shared on that screen? Are you reminded of what we've covered over the last few months and think, yes, that is truth that I can accept and live out? You know, there are numerous examples in history of people taking God at his word, people believing what he said and going above and beyond the circumstances that they find themselves in because of the truth that they believe in. One person we're going to look at in history who did that now was Joshua. And I wonder if something like this was going on in the mind of Joshua, the next leader of the tribe of Israel after Moses had died, preparing to take land for God's people. This is what God had to say to Joshua as he found himself in that position. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever we go. Powerful words there that God spoke to Joshua as he was about to embark on his mission in challenging times. Note the statement of reality at the beginning. Moses, one of the greatest leaders in Israel's history, is dead. It's time to move on. Then clear instructions. Live in faith with boldness and obey what I have commanded you without fear. Some of us might have received this word, these verses from the Bible, as prophetic words for us, as instruction and reminder, because they are such clear instructions that actually they are words that we can follow and apply in lots of circumstances. Perhaps daily, these are words that we would be able to hear and consider to guide our actions. But I'd like to suggest a rewording to you now that perhaps can be God's word for us, Iska Church, as we step into 2021. I'm wondering if God is saying this to us. Let me hide my little video panel up here. You are in a pandemic, a season of global disruption and difficulty not seen for decades. Now then, live out my ways of shalom and reveal my kingdom in the land around you. Be strong and courageous. Depend on me. Seek the ways of Jesus every day in all circumstances in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will know my power at work in you like you've not seen before. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. I am with you always. Can I invite you to open your minds and invite God, ask him, is that his word to you today at these times, in times such as these? Do you hear his voice in this word? In just a moment, John is going to lead us in our first song of worship. But let me say this to you. Joshua had land to take. He had to move into a neighborhood, a land, and claim it for God and God's people. But Jesus has already done that. John the Baptist had prepared the way. He said, make way, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John 1:14 says, Jesus came to the world and made his tent on earth. He camped out. He declared this was his land. The Prince of Peace, the Prince of Shalom, took the land. He has taken the land for us. But now we get to join in revealing how Jesus has taken the land. But the first land to take is in here and in here. There's little power to be found in pursuing God's truth and justice in the world if I won't start by giving him authority in all areas of my own life first. That's our challenge. As we seek to take the land for God first, we seek to take the land in our own hearts and minds. So I invite you, as we encounter the Prince of Peace now in worship, can you be in prayer? Can you be open to God to say, I'm ready to receive your word, and I'm ready for you to take the land in my life and pursue your ways in my life? John. You guys, thanks for leading us with those prayers. So we were talking, I was sharing, and as John has prayed, the first land to take by Jesus always is with our own hearts and minds. God has to regularly remind me of that as a relatively activist kind of guy who loves to be out there doing things, seeking God's justice, making difference in people's lives. All the while I find God saying, but first, Rich, sit me with me, let me train you, help me to teach you to be more like me. That's what I find him saying regularly to me. Slow down, Rich. And so this Shalom series is going to give us a chance to look at how God might further draw us close to him in five areas of our lives. They are connect our relationships, be active, give with generosity, keep learning, and take notice. These are five areas where God can be speaking to us and creating more room for his influence to be made. Now, the alert amongst us might recognize these headings. They're taken from Public Health England's Five Ways of Wellbeing, and that we decided that we would use them as a structure to make room for God to work in us as helpful headings. Now, we've also, as Andy mentioned, given you this booklet, Shalom Culture. And we've provided it for you because we are really keen to see us put into practice what we are learning about over these five topics, plus the introduction that Laura is going to provide next week on how we engage with the world around us. And each area of teaching that we're looking at has room for you to write notes and consider what God is saying to you. And we've also provided at the back of the booklet a guide for your discipleship groups with suggested questions of how you can apply what you're learning here on Sundays. And there's going to be other material available as well through YouTube and the podcast to kind of beef up what we're considering. Of course, we don't, though, live out this journey, this relationship with God on our own, do we? We're not outside of circumstances. We live in Exeter, Devon, or maybe elsewhere if you're joining from further afield, with neighbours, colleagues, school friends, a local council, lots of different influences and circumstances all around us. And in those different settings and different relationships, there are different ideas of what the good life is. There are different ideas of what the point of life is. Actually, different ideas of how we might live and what the point of life even is. So in fact, we talk about the kingdom of God and Jesus as the Prince of Peace, but you might say actually there are competing kingdoms around us. Now then, let's see if any of you know who or what this is. Please type in the chat if you can tell me. I'm going to open my chat window, hopefully. Ooh, is it going to show for me? I can't see it. Can anyone tell me what this is? Can anyone tell me what I'm going to hope that I can see my video panel. That's if not, Andy, would you mind being my narrator, please? I can't see the chat window, annoyingly.
We have screen. A Jedi, we have Ewan McGregor, we have Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's come up a couple of times. Luke Skywalker.
Okay. Yes. Thanks, Andy. This is indeed Ewan McGregor as a young Obi-Wan Kenobi. He is a Jedi Knight. Thanks, Andy. That's going to be a next thing challenge for you all. Do you know that there are Jedi Knights amongst us in Exeter? Did you know that? We have Jedis amongst us. Would you like to guess how many Jedi Knights in 2011 there were in Exeter? Could you please type in the chat, and perhaps please, Andy, you'd be kind enough to tell me what people are saying. How many Jedi Knights do we think there were in Exeter in 2011?
We've got quite a range coming in. We're starting up with 1,500. We've gone down to 50, or querying 28. Down to 10. The Cummins family are suggesting 100. Lynn and Mike, 98.
Interesting.
250, 20, 18, all 312. The numbers are flying in, and
that's great.
2,000, so that they're the highest.
Well, let me tell you all, I can tell you that in 2011, 547 people identified their religion as Jedi Knight in Exeter. So in 2011, 547 people said they were Jedi Knights and their religion was being Jedi. Here's a slide for you.
Interrupt you, Rich. Then Norman Alford with 500 was pretty close.
Well done, Norman. Good guess, Norman. Most of you were far too low. Here's another slide for you then. This is taken from the 2011 census in Exeter, and it shows how people describe their religion in 2011. Interestingly, apparently in 2000 in Exeter, just over half of the city, 53%, identified as Christian. which I find quite interesting because I don't think there are 50,000 people attending church meetings in Exeter this morning. So that's most interesting, but it gives you an idea. I'm showing you this chart to make the point that there are competing ideas on what is the way, truth, and life. Jesus' voice is not the only voice in the market by any stretch. 34% say they have no religion. You'll see the Jedi Knights in there, which has accounted for about 7%, I think, something like that, along with other options there. The point is, there are lots of ideas about how we get peace. So what are we to do with these other views on what peace is? What are we to do? Are we to copy them? Are we to consume them? Are we to critique them? Or are we to condemn them? Maybe we copy or rebrand. Maybe we take it all on board, not realizing that they're anything different. Maybe we like to internally assess them, or maybe we say it's all a load of rubbish. I wonder, imagine you're in a conversation with somebody about how to handle stress. They tell you that they find peace in their life through regular exercise, meditation, and yoga. Another person chips in and says, "That's interesting. I go to the pub to see my mates, make sure that I have regular short holidays, and give to charity, which makes me feel pretty good." When they're doing these things and saying these things, they feel like they are at peace. So how do you contribute to the conversation? Do you say, "I'll do that, but I go to church rather than the pub, and I pray rather than meditate"? Do you say, "That sounds like a good idea, I'll join you at the pub"? Do you say, "What exactly did you mean? Don't you find the pub rather superficial?" Or do you say, "You don't need any of that, you just need Jesus"? Laura is going to be helping us to unpack that next week a little and help us consider how we might go about these different approaches and whether we should go about any of them. What I want to say today is God has things to say about well-being in the world around us. And we're not going to get into, over the next few weeks, diagnosing what's right or wrong, judging and critiquing. But we are going to take room for the Holy Spirit to speak. I want to say that I am in faith that as we look at the five ways of well-being, not only will God use them to speak to us about how we can grow close to him, he can also use us to bring his revelation and shalom to those around us. Your booklets are not all about you. Some of it is about our personal reflection, but they're also going to ask you, what do you see of this message in the world around you? And who could you be speaking to about this area of your life? We're encountering truth that is relevant and alive to other people. So as we close now and turn to breaking bread, we're going to be hearing a creative activity and then breaking bread. Can I invite you again to just take a moment and consider this word? Just to be still, still your hearts and minds. You are in a pandemic, a season of global disruption and difficulty not seen for decades. Now then, live out my ways of shalom and reveal my kingdom in the land around you. Be strong and courageous. Depend on me. Seek the ways of Jesus every day in all circumstances, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Then you will know my power at work in you like you've not seen before. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged. I am with you always. Let's pray. Lord, I want to receive this word. I want to enter into 2021 with confidence and faith in you. Jesus, I thank you that you are the Prince of Peace and you have established your kingdom of shalom over all the earth. Lord, may this be a year in which we further join in with your work, first in our own hearts and minds, but equally in the lives of the people around us and in the circumstances we find us in. May we be not only those who encounter your shalom, but also bring your shalom to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Thanks, Rich. Let's be going across to John now then as we open our hearts, keep our hearts open.